Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
We're your hosts, Ellen and Kathleen. Before we jump into this week's episode, in this month of May, when these episodes are releasing, we are asking all of you, our listeners, to bring a intention to prayer each week. And we are going to present a spiritual bouquet to our Mother Mary at the end of the month. So, you know, bring this intention, say a rosary for this intention, bring this intention to Mass, spend some quiet time in prayer, say a couple of Hail Marys, Our Fathers, whatever it is that you want to do. Let us know, send us an email, let us know on Instagram, so that we can keep track of it and present that spiritual bouquet to our mother. So this week's intention is for medical professionals and the medical community as a whole. We pray for an overall embracing of the science of fertility awareness, as well as an understanding of the harms of hormonal birth control. All right. Welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. I'm Ellen.
And I am Kathleen.
And today we are talking about, this was a recommendation on Instagram. And I saw it and was just immediately texted Kathleen and was like, we have to record this now. This is like 2 days ago we got this recommendation.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is such an important episode that needs to exist. So what we're talking about today is tips for your first time.
Yeah.
All right. So,
from personal experience,
so tips for your first time. So we're going to start by sharing a little bit of Kathleen and I's first time experiences. I'm not going to go like too graphic. Don't worry. Like, no. We're definitely remaining prudent in what we're sharing and stuff like that. But we kind of, as we talked about it, we kind of realized like, we think it'd be helpful for those of you who are like preparing for your first time, which I recently learned we have a ton of listeners who are in that situation, which is awesome. Yeah. For those of you who are preparing for your first time, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to hear what others experience, what others go through. And so, you know, that if your first experience isn't perfect, which spoiler alert, it's not gonna be,
it won't be,
you know, you're not alone in that. And then for those of you who obviously don't need tips for your first time, like, here's just some funny stories that you can realize you also are not alone in how weird your first time was.
The awkwardness of the first time.
Exactly. So, yeah, Kathleen and I's stories as well have like some similarities, which is pretty funny. So anyway, my first time, you know, my husband and I waited until we got married to have sex. So it was both my husband and I's first time. I knew that my husband was excited about it. I was honestly like, I could take or leave this. I really don't care, but I know that this is what we're supposed to do. And so that's what we're going to do. And I had been given some lingerie from my bridal shower and there was like a white one. And I was like, this is the one I'm supposed to wear. And, we were there in the hotel room and tired, but it was just like, whatever. This is what we're supposed to do. And, we could not have intercourse. Physically. So I later recognized that I was experiencing vaginismus to an acute degree where intercourse, technically speaking, it could have been possible. But so I wasn't like, vaginismus has different levels. It can be as little as like just pain with intercourse, and then it can be as like acute as impossible to penetrate. I kind of fell somewhere in the middle, closer to the impossible to penetrate. It would have been highly painful for penetration for me, but still possible. Thank the Lord that I was confident enough in myself and my body to say, like, this clearly, this something's not right. This hurts. Stop, you know? And I'm so glad that I did, because, and we'll talk about this, like, when we go into just sort of like bulleting off some tips, is pain is not normal. Stop immediately if there is pain. And really, like, what we started to discover between ourselves is that, you know, one of the things that really helps vaginismus, and then also just, I mean, vaginismus is any pain with sex in practice, essentially. But a lot of people don't like to define it as vaginismus when it's just like little bit of pain with sex. But any kind of pain with sex, like, a lot of that can be mitigated through adequate foreplay, which, please go listen to the foreplay episode if you're curious about that. And then also what helps with vaginismus is also a, mental block as well. And so a lot of, learning about the meaning of sex and, you know, the conjugal act and what the church teaches and the beauty of sex, really helped me as well. So, that was the other thing about my first time is I thought I was like dirty and disgusting for having sex. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave that one right there. And we'll get to that. We'll come back around to that. But yeah, that's a little bit of my, my story. I mean, just, you know, fast forwarding a little bit, it took 5 months before penetration was possible. So, you know, just know I wanted to do this episode because I was like, oh my gosh, if someone could have told me some of these things, I could have started working on them like before my marriage started, like, this would be great. And we'll talk about like things that you can work on. But Kathleen, tell us about your first time.
My first time. So, I like often look back, not often, but every once in a while I like look back on it and it's just like, wow, that was pretty awful. So the one thing, I mean, like, truly, like,
honestly, and I could do the same thing. Like, right, but when, like, I was telling that story, even, I was just like, oh gosh,
I know.
I don't want to go back to that
not
night.
Even awful in terms of like anything my husband did. Like, I realized that, like, my approach to it was really awful and I feel bad for my poor husband. Let me set the scene. We had our wedding reception at my in-laws. They live on a horse farm. And so we had cleared out one of their big giant maintenance sheds and decorated it and made it look like this, like, beautiful farm wedding.
Solid. Ooh, I want to see some pictures.
And had our reception there, to which we didn't have to leave at any particular time because it was my in-laws' property, right?
Oh, so it's dear. Like, that meant your party went all night, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It went until, like, people were like, I need to go because I realize I've been at your wedding for 8 hours. I mean, it was at least midnight by the time we were, like, shutting down and, like, yeah, getting ready to, like, pack up and go to the hotel. Like, it was definitely at least midnight. Okay, so that tells you that I was very, very tired. Mm-hmm. Right? I was exhausted. I had been up since, like, the wee hours of the morning, like, getting makeup done. All the adrenaline and, like, the excitement of the day, right? Like, I was...
Well, and when you get married in the Catholic Church, like, your wedding is, like, at the latest at, like, 2 p.m. Like,
yes.
You can't have, like, a 5 p.m. wedding because if you're getting married on a Saturday, they have the vigil mass that they need to do, right? Exactly. So, like, your day is longer. You have to get started earlier.
It's a long day. And then you have a party that goes till midnight and it gets even longer. So that's what happened. That was my first mistake, honestly, was partying way too long. Not like it was like partying hard, you know, but I was the bride. I had to keep it classy. But
yeah, seriously, Kathleen.
Exactly. But yeah, so by the time that we got back, like, sex had sort of felt like, okay, this is like the next thing we check off on the list, right?
Like, right. Like, we did the bouquet toss. We, you know, did the money dance. Now we need to check the box for sex, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It was like, okay, let's, yep, check it off. Here we go. And I remember joking with my husband and being like, I mean, we've waited like 24 years. Why don't we just like wait one more day? And he was like, ha ha, no. I was like,
that's
okay.
Not an option.
So, you know, and honestly, like I look back on it and I think like, man, I really do wish that I had done more to look into and understand like the theology of sex, like the union, mm-hmm. right? To know like exactly, to have like I feel like I would have been more excited, even though I was tired, had I really realized what it meant spiritually to come together in this way. And I just didn't. I was exhausted, and I like feel bad because it was sort of like a precursor for like a lot of our marriage. Just like, I'm so tired. and you know, we were not prepared. Like, we didn't have anything like this to tell us like, okay, this is what you do for the first time. Right. Like,
right. All I had was like my secular sister who was just like, all right, get yourself on birth control and like, then you'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Not right. The
like
case.
I had nothing. Like, my parents had been divorced for a long time. Like, my mom's not talking to me about this. You know, I don't know, my mother-in-law, it's kind of like weird, like you're just entering the family, like kind of a weird thing to talk about, right? Like, I was one of my first of my friends to get married. So yeah, like we just like didn't, they were all in the same boat that I was. So I just didn't really have that much. So we were not prepared with lube. We were not.
We'll talk about lube in a little bit.
Yeah. We did not know like how important foreplay was, right? It was just kind of like, okay, I'm tired. Let's just like go in and get it done. And it was painful, not to the degree that Ellen was experiencing. It was very much like a, oh wow, this has never happened before. Mm-hmm. Like, I can tell that, right? Like, so there was discomfort for sure. And very sort of unromantic. It was just like, yeah, let's go in, get the job done, like, and then we can go to sleep and go on our honeymoon tomorrow. Now, I do remember on my honeymoon, I was much more excited to like continue practicing, like, you know, like having sex, right?
Hold on. Can we just pause for just a second? Kathleen, I loved the way that you said that. Continue practicing having sex. Like,
yeah,
because gosh, it takes, what would you say, years before you like,
oh my gosh,
you and your spouse actually get to a point where instead of practicing having sex, you're like having sex.
Let me tell you, I took in college, I took a class. I went to a Catholic college. We had a class on, it was an elective theology class on marriage and family.
Oh, fabulous.
And our professor talked about this where he said, when you get married, do not expect to have good sex until you're 10 years married.
Ooh, that's good.
And honestly, here I am at 10 years married, and our sex life is completely changing. Like, in a way that we're learning that we need to sort of evolve from where we were for the first 10 years into like a deeper stage of sex, which is really interesting. I mean, so it was like totally accurate. And it's not to say like you're just never going to have like any kind of good sex, but it's like, it takes years and years of practice to learn how to go from this being just a physical act to a body soul union. You know what I mean? And one that I'm still figuring out, like I still don't have it down. And I, like, there are times where I feel like our emotional and spiritual connection is deeper than others. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are other times where I feel like this is just like a physical thing we're doing right now, you know? So it takes a lot of time. You have to practice. You have literally your whole life to practice.
Which right. Is one that's of the really
beauty. Cool things, right?
Well, and the thing about like married sex as it is designed is that it's two of you guys practicing to get to a point where it's going to be that for you too. It doesn't matter how another couple gets to that point. Like, it's all about you and your spouse. This is why, you know, we reserve intercourse for marriage, because it is so personal that you can't even have good sex until you've been having sex with one single person for, yeah, quite a few years.
Exactly. Like, it just goes to show those, like, you know, random hookups are totally not worth it. Like,
right?
Like, completely not worth it. It's not even going to be good. Right.
Kathleen, I'm sitting here and I'm like, my husband and I have been married for 5.5 years. Am I even qualified to be talking to people about sex?
You are. Stop it. That's not. But you're. But honestly, like, it's your sex life is still going to evolve, right? Like,
right. And it's not like yours at 10 years is like, you know, this is your point and you're
mine
done.
Better still be evolving, right? Because it, like, I don't want it staying where it is, right? Like, I want it getting better. I want it improving. Yeah. Like, I pray to God it's still evolving.
And it is.
Yeah. But going back to, like, my honeymoon, I remember, like, just being excited. But I also remember saying to my husband at one point, like, I trust that it's going to get better. But right now, like, I can't fathom, like, how this is ever supposed to feel, like, enjoyable for me.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, great.
like, bravo for honesty, but maybe not the right time to talk to your brand new husband about that.
And it wasn't like, I wasn't saying it in a way that I was like, man, this really sucks. Like, I'm mad about this. It was like, huh, like, again, I think it must get better at some point, right? Like, it has to. But I just, like, don't really get it. And that was in particular to, like, intercourse, right? Like to the, you know, that was the understanding that I had at the time, that it was just like, oh, yeah, like, everyone can orgasm from vaginal intercourse, right? And it was just like, that's not necessarily
not
true.
Not necessarily true.
Yeah, so I don't know. But here we go. 10 years later. Sorry, we've got a screeching baby here. 10 years into it, and it has gotten a lot better, right? Like, I actually enjoy it. I enjoy it very much. You know, so if you are somebody who going into your, maybe you are newly married, maybe you're only married for like a couple weeks or a month right now listening to this, you know, and you're kind of like, does this actually get better? Like, I can't understand or imagine. It does get better. I promise you it gets better.
It gets better. As long as you and your spouse work together toward it getting better, right?
Yes.
If you mm-hmm. just accept, you know, oh, this is just whatever, I don't really care, it's not going to get better, right? If you don't talk to your spouse about it and you don't share, like, what's going on in your head, right? Like, you know, it was so good that Kathleen was honest with her husband, like, I don't understand how people could actually enjoy this, right? Maybe it was, like, not quite the right way and the right time to, like, talk to him about that, right? Like, we suggest those kind of conversations in a low stakes environment, like, outside of the moment, not right after sex. you know, like, over a cup of coffee, like, some morning, or like a glass of wine some evening or something like that.
I have a little
right?
more tact than I had. I had no tact.
I feel like I'm like throwing Kathleen, like, under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. It's fine. I'm an imperfect, flawed human, just like everybody else. It's okay. I've accepted that. But honestly, you know, and just to reiterate what you just said about conversation, like, if you are engaged and you are waiting for that first time, have some of these conversations now.
Yeah.
Have conversations where you talk about, like, hey, what do you expect? Like, what are your hopes? What are your expectations? You know, like, what are some things that we really want to make sure we prioritize in our first time, right? Like, we did not have a conversation about it beforehand. Like, talked about, like, it's going to be awesome to, like, finally have sex, like, right? Like, that was, like, a conversation we had. But in regards to the practicality or the practicals, and the expectations and the hopes, we didn't have that conversation, and we totally should have.
Oh my gosh. We didn't even I was so embarrassed to, like, even say the word sex or suggest the topic that we mm-hmm. never talked about it. It was just expected, right? That was going to happen.
Right.
And so, like, exactly. And then we got to that point and we're just kind of like, okay, well, like, this is what we're doing. Right. And so we never discussed expectations. We never discussed like how we feel about it, right? Of like me going, hey, I'm terrified and nervous about this. And my husband probably saying something along the lines of, I'm super pumped and excited, right? And then, you know, and being able to discuss the fact and like have a conversation about the fact that we have differing feelings about this, and that's okay. Right. And like, you're a team. Once like you guys getting married, speaking to those of you who aren't married yet, like you and your spouse are now a team for life. And you get to work through these issues the way that it works for you.
And, you know, I would say also, in regards to discussing expectations, talk about like, hey, what if we are really tired? Like, is it okay? Like, will you be okay waiting until the next morning? Is it just like, nope, doesn't matter. Like, we need to get it done that night, right? Like, come to an agreement on that stuff beforehand.
Yes.
So you're not like in the moment hurting feelings.
Being like I want to wait until tomorrow.
Being like, yeah. I'm exhausted. Yeah. And being like, too bad.
Because this, so this happens a lot, is that women will tell women, hey, it's, you know, you don't have to have it that night. You know, you might have heard that at your bridal shower or your bachelorette party or something like that, right? Like, oh, it's really okay. Like, it's, you know, you're married for the rest of your life. Like, you can have sex whenever, right? Women tell women that.
Yeah.
And then what do men tell men? Yeah, man. I don't know what men talk about.
We're guessing here.
I'm guessing. But they don't say that. They don't say, dude, you're going to have the opportunity to have sex with your wife. And you've been waiting, you know, for X number of years as you've been dating her. Just wait one more day, right? They don't talk about that.
They don't have
those kind of conversations.
So if you go into the, And if you're going in being like, oh, everyone said it's okay to wait till the next day. That makes sense, right? But your husband was told like, bro, congrats. Tonight's the night. Tomorrow you're a new man, right? And then
tomorrow he's not a new man. Like,
right.
Talk about a, like, blow to his manhood, right? So
correct.
Like, if you are engaged listening to this right now, I'm giving you a marching order. You can skip everything else in this episode. You must talk about this fact of, are we okay if neither, like, if one of us isn't feeling it that night, are we okay waiting one additional day? And like, you know, and some of you guys, like, getting ready to get married, like, you may also be kind of looking at your charts and going, oh, I'm going to be fertile that time and we don't want to have a child right away. Like, you may already have a perfect way to discuss this particular topic. You might not. You might be right in that infertile window, like, perfect prime time to to have sex. But you must talk about this fact because, gosh, I think it would have been so much better for me had we like waited even a couple of days. But we hadn't talked about it. And I truly believe that, well, I mean, I don't know. We were different people at that time, but I think if we had really honestly had a conversation about it, like, my husband would have been absolutely fine with that. But you know, we didn't have an open, honest conversation about that.
So how about we move into some of these, listener tips.
Yes. So we crowdsourced some tips here. And these are just, we're just going to kind of like read through them in the order that they came in. These are not organized. So there's definitely some repeats and things like that. And we're just going to kind of comment on them. So the first one that came in was positions. And I was just like, I like cheered when that one came in. I was like, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Missionary is not the only position. Now you might be sitting there going, okay, I've never had sex. I've maybe never even seen another human being naked. How do I know about positioning without it getting into like illicit material? There's a website that I recommend. It's called, I think it's called like Christian Friendly Sex Positions or something like that. I'll link it in the show notes. Now this, all of these sex positions are not necessarily, licit because it is Christian, not Catholic.
They don't have the same understanding of, you know, a unifying whole act means that completion of the man happens within the woman, right? So they have various oral and hand job positioning, right? However, there's a lot of really great stuff on there. So wheat and the weeds, right? Use your judgment.
Stick figures.
But yes, they use stick figures. Like it's, you know, and it's just, and they explain how to get into it too. Which is so wonderful. And so I highly recommend that. And then also like they have a level of difficulty for the position too, which is really cool. Awesome. So nice. You're preparing for your first time. No, you are not allowed to go to the difficult positions. No, I'm just going to, I'm giving you a rule right now.
That's so funny. Yep.
Good you rule. Need to go with the easy ones. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's something that happens too. Sometimes I think that like we'll come in saying, you know, maybe somebody had a conversation with us about, oh my gosh, this is the best position in the world. You have to do this one. And we'll be like, okay, we got to start there. No, 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 no. Please start with an easy position. Get to know each other and your bodies and get to know your orgasm before you jump into difficult positions. That's a whole nother episode. Get to know your orgasm. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Any other thoughts on positions?
No, I think that was great. That was great. Really good advice.
All right. The second one that came in, which again, I was like, yeah, lube is your friend. Lube is your friend.
I wish someone told me that one.
I wish someone had told me that one too. Okay. And here's the thing with lube is, we started with a water-based basic lube. This was after our honeymoon. I like went to Safeway and bought like some lube that they had. And I was thoroughly embarrassed the entire time because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm buying this item. People are seeing me buy this. They know what I'm doing. I had lots of issues with sex. But I was like, I can't order it on Amazon because I share my Amazon account with my parents. All right. So here's a tip for that. If you're still in that position, that spot, one, you know, you've got some work to do on getting comfortable with sex. But if you're still in that spot and you're like, I could never walk into a store and buy lube, I can't order it online or whatever. I would like to recommend to you almond oil. If you order almond oil on Amazon and somebody sees it, they're not going to immediately suggest lube. Like they're not going to be like, oh, you're getting that for lube. Okay. Because almond oil is a great massage oil. It is also used in the creation, in making, bath bombs, and other like, bath items. It can be just like put into a bath, right? So almond oil is great for that. And here's the thing with almond oil is it is one of the closest oils in pH to the pH of your vagina. So almond oil is an extremely safe, and closely bioidentical, lube for you to use. I do not recommend coconut oil. Do not use coconut oil. Coconut oil, has a sweetness to it. It has a very high sugar content. If you taste coconut oil, it's very high, and this can lead to yeast infections. Its pH is nowhere near the pH of your vagina. I don't understand why people are like, use coconut oil. Do not use coconut oil. You do not want to get a yeast infection right after having sex.
No, you don't. Nope.
So almond oil is a fantastic oil to use for lube. And here's the thing with oil as well. So water, water-based lubes, your body absorbs water. So if you use water-based lube, you have to use it very generously and you have to reapply. So there's nothing wrong with using a water-based lube. Just recognize like you got to use a lot and you need to like throughout having sex and like foreplay and stuff like that, like you're going to have to like put it on a couple of times.
Yeah.
Unless you like put it on immediately before penetration. So like water-based lubes aren't exactly the best like for sex for our bodies,
right.
Because they just don't work as well. Oil, like our body doesn't absorb oil like it does water. It absorbs it much, much slower. So you can use less and you can just apply it one time and then like you're good to go. So that's another great thing with oil. The reason why oil is not typically like in the secular world recommended is because, oil breaks down, condoms. So you can't use oil and an oil-based lube if you are contracepting with condoms, but guess what? We're not contracepting with condoms, guys. So we can use oil to our heart's content.
We use all the oil we want. Oh,
my gosh. So anyway, there's my soapbox about lube and almond lube. Oil.
There are so many comments in here about lube. So
there are.
Clearly it's like one of the number one tips.
It is.
Lube, if not number one.
Another oil that's great to use is jojoba oil. That one is actually most closely aligned with the pH of your vagina. Jojoba oil is quite a bit more expensive than almond oil. Like you can get a big jar of almond oil for like $5 and you can get a very small jar of jojoba oil for $5. So, you know, jojoba oil would be like gold standard, or like maybe like that's what you give your spouse as an anniversary present or something like that. Right. Like you use it for special times or something. But almond oil is definitely like economically probably my definite recommendation.
Yeah. Also along with this one comment is laying down a towel because the oil or lube or whatever you're using can get messy.
And so can semen.
And so can semen. Yep. So that's something to kind of keep in mind too. If that works for you, maybe you just don't even care. That's fine too.
Yeah. But if you're in a hotel, like you probably want to lay down a towel.
Yeah.
And they've got lots of towels, right? Your hotel room's got
lots of towels. They got towels galore.
Got lots of options. There's also a listener emailed me saying, hey, have you ever heard of this? But there's this thing called sex blankets. And it's like a waterproof blanket that you put over your bed. And it's like fuzzy on the side that you would like have sex on, but like waterproof on the other side. Yeah. So like super comfortable, luxurious.
I've never even heard of that.
But then it's just like you just like throw it over your bed. So sex blankets. I will link the sex blanket that
say
this,
Google right now.
Please don't Google it. Oh my gosh. I will link one for you. I'll link one for you.
Okay. Fair point.
All right.
Okay.
Don't feel pressure to have it in the PM of your wedding. Parentheses, talk so tired.
Just the have a conversation.
AM. Yeah.
Yeah,
just have a conversation. This episode's getting a little long, but it's such good stuff. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
relax, take your time. Don't take yourself too seriously. No pressure to be good. Just have fun. It's not about it going well. It's about you two finally being together. I love it. It's so good. I don't even think there's anything to say about that one. Like, it's just so good.
No commentary needed.
You want to read the next one?
Yeah. Go slow. Is similar to the one before. Spend lots of time on foreplay. Don't rush straight to sex. Enjoy the journey. That's a really good one, too.
And by lots of time with foreplay, like minimum 20 minutes, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Like maximum 10 days. I know. No, but like, I mean...
There's no maximum,
whatever you need until, you know, because here's the thing, women, in order to have intercourse, your body and pelvic floor need to relax enough to be able to welcome the man's penis. Okay. Mm-hmm. You cannot have intercourse until you're relaxed enough for that. That foreplay is going to help you relax and get your body prepped for receiving the gift of your husband, right? If we're using kind of more theological terminology for it, that's the process of getting turned on. your body relaxing and being ready to receive. That is female like arousal. That's how,
yeah,
that's what, mm-hmm. that's what female arousal is for, is to be able, because like you're like, you need to open, right? Kind of like in, yeah. in labor and delivery, like your body has to open to let the baby out. Your body has to open to let your husband's penis in.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And as you become more and more aroused, your like vaginal canal actually widens, right? Mm-hmm. And doesn't your cervix move a little bit?
Not for every woman. That's yeah.
The vaginal canal lengthens. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no maximum time for foreplay. Just whatever you feel.
Whatever you need. Yeah. And communicate that to your husband, your future yeah. husband too. Like, hey, I just learned, or maybe hubby, like come listen to this episode. Like I just learned that we need a lot of foreplay probably. So like, let's get excited for that. Cause foreplay can be really, really fun. But if your husband's not expecting to need to do foreplay, like it might be yeah. like, why are we waiting? What are we doing? Why aren't we just yeah. having sex right now?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Take your time, no pressure to do it on the wedding night, laugh about it. You're probably both nervous.
Yes. That's so
laughing about it
is so good.
Yeah, very good.
Have realistic expectations. Even if your husband isn't a virgin, it's still your first time together. My first time wasn't what I expected and I wasn't ready for the bleeding. Let's talk about bleeding. Mm,
yeah. So some women will bleed. I remember my friend got married about a year before me, and I remember seeing her the next morning at brunch after her wedding, and she was like, I am still bleeding. And I was like, ugh. But
some women will bleed more than others.
Some women will bleed more than others. And that's okay. That's normal. If you, especially if you're, I mean, mostly if you're a virgin, right? And your hymen hasn't broken. I will say that it is not the experience for everybody. My husband and I both were virgins on our wedding night. But I was a dancer. I grew up dancing. I danced in high school. I danced in college. I danced for a long time. And it's actually not uncommon for dancers, gymnasts, people who are like very, I don't know, flexibly athletic,
yeah,
to have broken their hymen naturally through,
if you pole vault,
their activities,
you have broken your hymen. I can almost guarantee.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish so, I could pole vault.
yeah. So that's not. So I actually had no bleeding. I had like irritation, like it was like uncomfortable, but I didn't, and like just some general soreness the next day, but no actual bleeding. So, I'd say expect it, be on the safe side.
Yeah, be ready for it. But yeah. I didn't really have like a bleeding event. Like I said, it took 5 months until we got to actual penetration. I had streaking like for, I don't know, probably 9 months. Like I never had like a one bleeding event. I had like a series of like, oh, there's a little bit of blood. Like,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to happen to everybody. It didn't happen to Kathleen and I. But be prepared for it if it does. That's why we suggest laying down a towel as well. And why like all of these people recommended laying down a towel, right? Lube is messy. Semen is messy. Like, you know, not all of it like stays in the vagina. There's a lot of semen. And then also like bleeding can be messy too.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good thing to expect. It's a good tip. Lots of take your times.
Yeah.
Communicate everything. We kind of touched on this already, but don't push through pain if there is any. Take it really slow and communicate your needs. That's a big thing. If it is painful, just be vocal about that.
Yeah.
Hey, can we stop? Can we like foreplay for a little bit more? Can we, you know, whatever it is that you need, that's really, really important.
Don't forget lube. And then this person said, I had a painful reaction to some, but my husband and I love Uber Lube. I've heard good things about Uber Lube. It's quite the name. But I still recommend almond oil across the board for everybody.
I would say stay away from most of like the KY lubes, right? Especially ones that say like tingling sensation, like his hers. Like probably. So I will say my husband, love him very much, but you know, not being the one who has lube entering into his body internally, never really thought much about like the quality of lube before. It was just like, oh, whatever lube I can get at the grocery store. And he did get that one time, and it was like very early on, and it's weird. I don't recommend it.
You got it. Like, you know, this is going into your body.
If you're like, yeah. If there's some like oral foreplay happening in conjunction with that lube, it's like pretty awful. I would say stay away from those things, for sure. And that the painful reaction made me think of that.
Yeah. Like,
those are not the best for the body.
You want clean lube. Talk about expectations beforehand, lubrication, be okay with it not going great. Lube is your new best friend. pray beforehand. This one's awesome. It's awesome.
Like Tobias and Sarah.
Yep. And you could even do Tobias and Sarah's prayer if you don't know what to say. Like, that would be a beautiful thing for you to do. Use lots of lube. This person suggested keeping baby wipes on hand for cleanup afterward. I've never used baby wipes, but I could see like how, you know, something that was slightly wet might be kind of handy for cleanup.
Also, I've heard of people keeping a towel next to the bed.
Yeah.
That's a good thing too, just so it's like ready and right there.
Let's see. Discuss expectations and have a sense of humor. This person said, I got a nosebleed on my first time. Like, oh my gosh.
Hilarious.
That's hilarious. It's fantastic. There's going to be something weird that happens. You're going to fart. Your bodies are going to make weird noises. You're going to, like, something weird is going to happen. Like, when two naked, sweaty bodies come together, like, weird noises happen. You know how you can like make your armpit fart by like, you know, putting your hand there and like moving your arm. Those kinds of noises happen when bodies come together.
Yep. Yes, exactly. I love that. That's getting real.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be on the wedding night. Do it when you're ready and rested. Again, you got to talk about this beforehand. Don't just expect that. It's fine to wait. Okay. Make sure that you and your spouse agree on that and have talked about that.
Yeah.
Relax, focus on enjoying the fact that he can get this close to you. No walls, no barriers or clothes. Take it slow. Don't feel like you're going to get it wrong. Use lube the first time. This person recommended almond oil. Shout out to you. your body was made to do this. Be patient with yourself. I loved that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lube foreplay.
The next couple ones are like lube.
A lot of what we already said, discuss expectations in advance, pray together beforehand, realize there's a learning curve. 100%. Like we said, 10 years till you have like really, really good sex, right? Also, I was surprised how messy sex can be, and find some lingerie you feel confident
you in. Feel that's confident important. That's huge.
That's huge, because sometimes your mom or your best friend or somebody might get you.
Or your mom's friend.
Your best friend would get you something you liked. Mom's friend.
I got lingerie from my mom's friend. I was like,
oh. Exactly. Right? Sometimes, like, your mom might buy you lingerie and you're just like, I'm not digging this one, Ma. You know? Like, and that's okay. Don't feel like you have to use that to, like, you know, honor what she got you. Like, that's fine. Like, maybe just wear it to bed sometime, you know, when you're like not in the pressure of like wanting to feel sexy. But find something you feel confident in. That is huge.
And Kathleen, what do we recommend?
We always recommend Mentionables, and we have a code.
We love Mentionables.
We have an affiliate code.
We do. And when you purchase through our affiliate code, it helps us, you know, pay for the stuff we got to pay for when we have a podcast. So it really helps support us. Yeah. But we love Mentionables, no models. So you can just like, it's just about you.
Way.
Yeah, you do. You just ordered one.
I'm waiting for an order to come in right now.
So. We love Mentionables, and you can get 10% off with our code. So, we love Mentionables. Okay. Towels, towels, towels. OMG. So many towels. towels are good.
That's great.
this person said, don't let your period stop you. And I kind of just want to caveat that with, okay, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. As long as you guys have talked about it beforehand.
Yeah.
But
as long as your husband.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just like not informing your husband that you're on your period and just suddenly being like, oh my gosh, what?
Why is there so much blood? Oh my gosh.
And but listen.
Then, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you are not a couple that is down with period sex, that's okay. It's totally okay. Mm-hmm. My husband, I mean, is down for sex all the time, except for when I'm on my period. And that's okay. Like, yeah. It's fine. You know, it's if you like it, you're okay with it, you're cool with it, also fine.
Yeah.
Right? That just comes down to personal preference.
Right.
So, and just make sure that that's...
So, yeah. So this one, like, don't let your period stop you, but also don't feel like you have to have sex if you're on your period, right, on your wedding day. Like,
right,
you know, think about what you want and then go talk to your future spouse about it. And talk about what you guys are both comfortable with. Start by taking a bath together to relax and grow in intimacy. I love this idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good to just be able to be close to each other, see each other without clothes on, like, and baths are like warm and relaxing. Like, yeah, I highly recommend that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you are afraid, try with little steps. No need to do intercourse right away. Get to know the other's body first. Yeah. All good. All mm-hmm. good. You know, yep. foreplay. It might be, you know, no need to do intercourse right away, AKA do foreplay for an hour beforehand, or it might be maybe you need a couple of days. The last person on here.
Wild. I read that like a while ago and I was like,
that would not have worked for my husband and I.
No.
Go ahead and read the last one, Kathleen.
We got to know each other's body for a year before intercourse.
Wow.
That would not have,
it wouldn't have flown. It wouldn't have flown in my marriage. But that's okay. Like, right. This is why you got to talk about what's going to work for you. Kathleen and I, we know that wouldn't have worked for us. Right. But like, it worked for this couple and that's awesome. I'm so glad that they were able to do that. And I think just like one last tip before we close out, this is like the world's longest episode. One last tip is there can be a lot of concern with, oh my gosh, we have to do it right. We have to follow all of the rules of the Catholic Church. Like, we can't, you know, oh my gosh, what if my husband accidentally like climaxes before like we are actually having intercourse? Like, I just want to placate your mind slightly on that a little bit and realize that like this is a learning process.
Yeah.
Accidents happen. Accidents are not sin. Now, it might be something you still want to bring to confession, and that's okay, because it can be very helpful to talk to a priest about it, right? But like, please don't let the, you know, dark cloud of, oh my gosh, we can't break the rules, like, hurt you getting to know how to have sex. Because that can be, it can be a really like dark cloud, and it can be like confusing, and stuff like that. So, you know, just recognize that like accidents will happen. I don't think I've met a couple that accidents haven't happened. Okay. They will happen. And then like, but I mean, God's grace is there for us. He wants to give his mercy to us. Confession is awesome. It's huge, right? We're all gonna mess up. It's okay. Not that you messed up, but it's okay because God wants to reconcile you to him, right? Yeah. So just remember that as we close out this episode.
Amen. I love it. This is a great chat.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform platform that gives you the option to rate or review. We'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.